You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, brought to you by Exmark Manufacturing. 30 years of pioneering spirit and innovation have resulted in legendary durability, all-day comfort, and unmatched cut quality. Go check them out at exmark.com. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems in marketing, equipment, and customer service, educational and motivational, to help make your lawn care business an overwhelming success. Now, here's your host, Julio Tomei.
Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 406, entitled Lawn Reno Time. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every weekend, of course, for the questions, the comments, and the feedback that you guys have been sending through. I really do appreciate that. Spring is in full effect here. We're about a month or so in it, just over a month in it, and things are just rolling along. Had some pretty crazy weather last week in terms of just some really heavy rain. In fact, actually last night was the same too. I was driving home in the evening around 7 o'clock. I was out visiting my mom, came back, and it was just pouring rain coming down. I even said to my wife, it feels like November at the moment. It was cold, and just the amount of rain that was coming down that evening was pretty crazy. And then this morning it was all sunshine, so that kind of worked out. I was worried there after we got home last night, thinking about, you know, what I'm going to do for, you know, work today because of that heavy rain and what I had scheduled. As you guys know, I don't do mowings on Monday. So, you know, with the spring here, you know, into full effect, doing the lawn renos, overseedings and top dressings, aerations and all that sort of stuff. So I was getting a little bit worried, but woke up in the morning, saw some blue skies through the skylights as I was coming down downstairs to get some coffee. And that put a smile on my face, knowing that I'd be able to get out there and kind of keep on schedule for today. Of course, you know, with mowing and stuff like that, like I've talked about here in the Pacific Northwest, there's no getting away from having to mow in the rain. There's going to be times throughout the season that you have to do it, because we can get stretches of rain for days on end, right? It can rain for like 2 weeks straight. So there's no skipping lawns when it's raining, unless it's like, you know, absolute torrential, you know, downpour or something like that. I'll hold off. But usually when it's something like that, if it's not like actually like November, where, you know, you're getting that type of really heavy rain and it's for long periods of time, usually throughout the rest of the year, you know, it rains a lot, but it's a lot lighter rain. And when you get those heavy instances of rain, they're short-lived. So you know, in the past when stuff like that happens, if I'm out mowing, I'll just like run back to the truck or whatever and seek shelter and just wait it out, basically. You know, if it's like super heavy coming down, like raindrops are bouncing off the ground sort of thing, they're hitting so heavy. So, you know, I'll usually just like wait it out for like 5 minutes and then it'll lighten up. So, yeah, I was worried with that type of rain happening last night that it was going to continue today. But like I said, it turned out to be a good day to get some of those lawn reno type services done that typically here in the Pacific Northwest, for me at least, I'm doing them all in the spring. I don't do any lawn renos come the fall. Just because of the weather here, like I said, it just turns to poop, basically, the weather come fall with just constant rain and clouds and stuff. It's always overcast and stuff like that, so and cold. So not good, you know, lawn growing conditions at that time. And, you know, it just goes into like months and months of rain. So the only real window where you can Kind of guarantee a result for a customer if you're doing a lawn rental, doing that sort of stuff, is to do it now in the spring, where you get those, you know, rainy days and stuff like that. But, you know, you're getting that sunshine. You're heading towards better weather, or the better weather part of the year. So that gives the lawn, when you're doing those types of renovations and stuff, gives the lawn, you know, that time to establish itself, to, you know, grow some roots and stuff. Unfortunately, the last few years too, we've been dealing, with, some heat issues and stuff in the summer too. So it's getting more and more difficult, to do things like lawn renos and stuff like that, because of just that challenge there of, you know, in the springtime, which is really kind of the only really good time to do it. You know, the last few years we've been, just up against those sort of long drought conditions. Last year was unprecedented, to have like no rain for like 2.5 months and just scorching hot weather. So it really is, difficult if customers don't have irrigation systems, which a lot of them don't have here because of the, you know, normally lots of rain that happens. So they really got to keep on top of the watering. And then of course, you know, the cities always throw a wrench into it and put in like watering restrictions and all that stuff, and limiting watering lawns to like one day a week. And it's like, you know, in the middle of the night type hours that you can do it. So it gets very difficult, but still, I think here in the springtime is still sort of your best chance to get a lawn to succeed, at least in my experience. And speaking of which, I had a weird instance today as I was heading out there. I was gathering a bunch of tools and things that I would need for the first job that I had lined up for the day. And it was just one of those days where things were started out, like I said, promising with the sunshine and all that, but kind of shifted throughout the day. So I needed to pick up some soil to do some top dressing. I also had the Lansi compost spreader arrive. So I was really excited to go out and try that for the first time, doing some top dressing. Typically, when I'm top dressing, depending on the job or jobs, if I've got a bunch of jobs lined up for the day, then I'll go and buy soil bulk and just fill the trailer, grab a wheelbarrow, a shovel, and a nice hard metal rake, and do it that way, where I'm, you know, pulling up to a lawn, and then when I need to do the top dressing, you know, shoveling soil into a wheelbarrow and basically dropping piles on the lawn and stuff like that. But if, you know, I don't have, a bunch of lawns to do, because the properties are all quite small, the minimum when you're buying soil, at least around here, is like a cubic yard of soil. So, you know, that sometimes can go for these really small lawns. If I've, I'm trying to squeeze in a lawn for a top dressing and stuff like that, sometimes I won't be able to use that much soil for just doing like a basic top dressing or stuff. So then I'm stuck with soil in the trailer, but then I need the trailer the next day for doing mowing and stuff like that. So then it's trying to figure out, like, what am I going to do? Drop it on the driveway or whatever the case may be, go about it that way. Or sometimes just doing it that way as well. You know, even if I'm buying multiple yards of soil, at the end of the day, you're left over with some and you got to deal with that. So a lot of the times too, what I'll do now, because these lawns are seem to be getting smaller and smaller, is I'll just buy bagged soil. I'll just go to like a garden center and like the Home Depot or something like that, and just buy soil by the bag. Obviously a lot more expensive doing it that way, but it has its advantages in certain instances, in terms of some labor savings, in, you know, not having to shovel into the wheelbarrow and then go like that. Like, I can just literally carry the bags to where I need them and drop them there and open them up and disperse them that way. And again, this is because these lawns are quite small. So I was excited to get in there and see if using the Lansi compost or peat moss spreader would help with that. But before I could even get to that, one of the things that I needed as well that I wanted to pick up was some grass seed to have to do jobs and have them on hand. I had some grass seed left in a bag from my supplier from last year, but it was enough to do the first job. I was sure of that. But, you know, I had other jobs that would be coming up later on this week and potentially the week after. So I was like, well, you know, I'd like to pick up a bag just in case, you know, like if I go to do this first job, I'm pretty sure I have enough grass seed. But if I don't, then, you know, I'll go grab a bag just in case and I'll have it with me because I'll, you know, I'll have to use it anyways. And so I had a really kind of a disappointing experience, actually. I went to my seed supplier, my normal supplier, where I pick up all my fertilizer, pick up all of my, you know, like lime and moss control and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, they've always had a minimum order amount that you had to get. Like when I first started, I've been going there for like 12 years. When I first started picking up supplies from them, I think their minimum order was $200. So, you know, you'd have to have a minimum order of $200. But over the years, there'd be times where, you know, you'd order, you know, lime or fertilizer or whatever the case may be, and you'd be short. You might be short a bag or something like that. You just need, you know, something to finish off maybe a lawn or two. So you'd go and, you know, they'd sell you a bag or whatever it is that you needed. And over the past few years, that minimum charge had minimum order size or whatever you want to call it has been slowly going up and up and up and up. So this year it went up again and now it's $350. That is sort of like the minimum order size. So, you know, earlier in the spring, I had ordered my moss control and did that first order and then went back again and then ordered the fertilizer and lime that I would need for the second sort of round of services, which I'm working through right now with like doing aerations and all that sort of stuff. And then I'm putting lime fertilizer down. Typically, I start with the moss control first, and then I wait a few weeks to a month. So typically, I'm doing moss control in March, and then in April, I start on doing aerations and doing lime and fertilizer and doing any sort of like lawn reno things. If I have to like overseed or top dress or things like that, I'm doing them typically in April. So I knew I had seed, and I didn't think I would need seed this year, but I hadn't checked physically, like gone out just to sort of refresh my memory. Usually keep the grass seed in the shed, and I put it in like a Rubbermaid tote type container, like one of those massive Rubbermaid totes, just to make sure like no mice or whatever can get at it. So I hadn't checked on it and hadn't looked at it. So I didn't order it this year, right? I just ordered my fertilizer and lime and all that sort of stuff and completed my order then a few, you know, it was probably 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago or whatever it was when I went and picked up that stuff. So I realized today that, hey, I've got enough. When I went to go grab the grass seed, notice that the bag, what I thought I had at least half a bag left of those like big contractor bags. I think they're 50-pound bags of seed. So I thought I had at least 25 pounds of grass seed left. Well, I didn't. I had just like basically the bottom of the bag left. Probably just a few pounds or whatever the case, maybe 5 pounds of seed or something in there. So I was like, okay, well, I think that'll be enough for this small front yard that I got to do today. But, you know, I'll go pick up another bag and stuff like that. And just to make sure that, you know, if I am out or run out like midway through the job, then I'll have it. And then, you know, I'll have the seed for the next job and stuff. And so I went there and, you know, just knowing that, hey, in the past, they've sold me single items and stuff like that when I've run short and stuff like that. And, you know, I go in to the office and they say hello, whatever. And I just say, I'm wondering if you guys can do me a favor. I need a single bag of seed. I've run out or whatever. And they wouldn't sell me a bag of seed. I could not believe it. I was in complete shock that after 12 years of going to this place, of knowing these employees, of talking to them, always friendly, always cordial, never had any issues with this place, that they were so hard set on this new policy that they had. Well, they've always had a policy of a minimum order, but like I said, and I understand, in fact, in the past, I've been told, because I know that they have that minimum order. And I think at one point it was like $250 and I needed something. And I went in to ask them if they would sell me something. This is like a couple years ago. And, you know, the person I talked to at the time, I said, hey, I just need a couple bags. I'm short, whatever. And I was being like apologetic about it, because I'm like, I don't think that's going to hit the $250 order. I don't need anything else. And they literally told me at the time a few years ago, that's okay. We can sell you this stuff. The order is there is just to really discourage like the retail side. We don't want the retail side. We just sell wholesale, right? To contractors like yourself, that sort of thing, right? But yeah, if you just need a bag or two or whatever like that, like, of course we'll sell it to you. And between then and now, something has changed. And like I said, I don't know if they've changed management. I don't know what the heck is going on, but that minimum price went up to $350 and they wouldn't sell me a bag of seed. And I'm not talking about a $40 bag of seed or a $30 bag of seed. I'm talking about a $200 bag of seed. And they would not sell me a single $200 bag of seed. And I was just like, I can't believe you guys are not going to sell me. And they're like, well, you want to speak to the manager? And then I said, yeah, sure. So then they call the manager, and the manager comes out. She's like eating something. She comes out like chewing food as she's coming out. And I told her what's going on and said, hey, I'm short seed. I did my order a couple weeks ago, forgot to order seed. Now I'm short. And she would not bend. She was like, nope, can't do it. Do you want two bags of seed to make the $350 order? And I was like, well, I don't need two bags of seed. Like, with the clients that I have and stuff like that, I do like, you know, all the mowings. I've got, a number of those customers that want fertilizers and stuff like that. But then those numbers slowly dwindle as you add on some of those other services, like the overseeding, top dressing, stuff like that. Usually it's just the clients that I'm doing renos and stuff for. It's not like a sort of a blanket thing that I do for everybody. Like, hey, let me oversee your lawn every year or whatever the case may be. So it was like, well, I don't need two bags of seed. I don't need, you know, $400 worth of seed to do a couple of, lawn renos, that I'm going to be doing here, to complete. And they wouldn't, like I said, they wouldn't sell me these. I was just in shock. Like I say, after 12 years of going there, buying everything from them, fertilizer, lime, seed, all that sort of stuff. And on top of that, recommending them to so many local landscapers who listen to the podcast, watch my YouTube videos and all that. And and they're going to like Home Depot or, you know, box stores or whatever the case may be to buy grass seed or fertilizers and stuff like that. And, you know, small bags, a lot more expensive, all that sort of stuff, right? And I've always directed guys who are, legitimate landscape businesses, hey, go check out this supplier. You know, you can buy the stuff in like, you know, big bags. It's expensive, you know, and stuff. But, you know, in the long run, it's a lot cheaper than buying the sort of the retail side of it. So I was just completely shocked because I was like, what do I do? Like, do I buy two bags? Do I buy, you know, my last order was just a couple weeks ago. Knowing their minimums and all that sort of stuff, I had ordered enough to get me through the next round, which I'm doing now, the next round of fertilizer and lime and stuff, but also enough fertilizer for the next round after that, which is like the just before summer round. And then typically I'm not putting anything down in July or August, and then September I'd be putting it down again. So I'd be going back in September to go get enough fertilizer and lime again to do the fertilizing in September, and then fertilizing in lime at the end of November when I finish mowing. So it's like, well, at that point, if I'm waiting till September till the next time I need to order, you know, a big order from them, well, it's too late for the grass seed, because in the fall it's, you know, and there's no point in me buying it for next year because I can just put it on the spring order that I need for, you know, the following year after that. I'm not going to hold on to grass seed all winter for no reason and have potentially mice or whatever, or, you know, humidity issues or something, and have the seed go bad or whatever the case may be. So I was just completely shocked that they were so rigid in their policy, in a new policy. Like, they've always bent in the past about, you know, hey, sure, like, you're a regular customer. You're coming in all the time buying hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of supplies off of them, and you happen to be short a bag and they're not going to sell it to you. I was just absolutely in shock that they would, because, like, why? It doesn't make any sense. I understand if you're a person off the street coming in and, you know, asking them to buy a bag of seed that you went, but you're pulling in a truck and trailer wearing uniforms. You're obviously a contractor. It's not like it's the first time they've seen me. I've been going there every spring and fall for 12 years, ordering a ton at a time, and you're going to leave me hanging. So that I have to scramble and find seed somewhere else, or have to buy more than I need, whether it's a second bag of seed or a bunch more fertilizer and stuff that, you know, I have to guesstimate what I'm going to need for the fall, September, and then the finish of the year without knowing, you know, how many clients I may have picked up throughout this year and then end up being short for that stuff. So I was just, you know, and then have to store that stuff all season until the fall. You know, I'm already tripping over bags of fertilizer and lime already in the garage. And then to have more of it to make up a minimum order or whatever the case may be. I was just completely, like, shocked. Like, I literally had to, I left and I got in my truck. I started driving away, and then I pulled over and I called my brother-in-law just in shock. I was like, because he's always calling me to complain about stuff. So I was like, okay, it's my turn to vent. He's like, okay, go ahead. So I was like, okay, here's what happened. He's like, yeah, they pulled that on me last week too. He says, I needed something and went in there thinking, hey, they'll sell. They've always sold me stuff in the past. And they wouldn't. You know, there's always times you're going to forget something, or you might be short something or whatever, or you want to try something new. You know, maybe a customer wants to do micro clover or something on a lawn. It's not something I'm going to normally order, or, you know, anything like that. So now I have to, like, literally tell customers, no, I can't do that because, you know, I got to order $400 or $350 worth of stuff to be able to do that. And then it's like, you know, technically, I guess, you know, if you're buying a bag of grass seed or something like that, and you have to buy double the amount or whatever than you would need, I guess technically over time, you're still making money on that. But in a cash flow sense, you're putting out that money now, and you may have to wait to recover that for a long time. So I was just completely shocked that they were unwilling to help out a client, a regular client who has literally ordered hundreds, possibly, you know, thousands of bags of stuff over the years, and thousands of dollars worth of stuff. It's just crazy, 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 crazy. I just was like, I don't know what to even think about that. So luckily, you know, the first house that I went to go do, I did have enough seed. Actually had seed left over to do that one. But, you know, the next one that I'm going to do, I got to figure out what I'm going to do. Am I either going to go and, you know, buy two bags of seed to make up the four? And the crazy thing is the price is just, you know, just, it's not quite $200. It's like $187, whatever the case may be. So it still could be, like my brother-in-law was saying, depending on the seed that you pick or whatever. Like last week he went and he needed a bag of grass seed. Same situation, basically. He ended up having to buy two bags of grass seed plus a bag of lime just to make it reach the 350 threshold of the seed that he was picking so that they would sell it to him. It's just crazy. Just absolutely craziness when you're being so rigid with regular clients like that on, you know, on things like that. I'm asking them to sell me something they don't normally sell or to provide a service they don't normally do or, you know, anything. Like I'm a regular client, regular commercial client. I just forgot to check whether I needed seed or not. And they wouldn't sell me the thing because the other order completed. Makes no sense. And this is on top of, if you guys remember, because I think I've talked about these guys before, you know, this year they've completely dropped the ball. They sent out that price list in February of their pricing. And then in March, I went to go get my first order of stuff. And I showed up and they told me that they had to raise the price on that stuff. And it was like, what? What do you mean you have to raise? You guys just sent out your price list. I've quoted clients based on that price list. And now you're telling me it's more money than what it was a month ago? You guys have never sent out more than one price list a year. They always send it in the spring, and that covers like the entire year. That's the prices this year. This year, they changed the price within a month, and they didn't email. They didn't tell anybody that they are changing the pricing on stuff. So, you know, where you're going out there, you're doing quotes, quoting people for certain things, and now it's costing you more than you were expecting, quite a bit more per bag than you were expecting. And then on top of that, so I was like, I had no choice. I had to, you know, order the stuff and basically eat the cost because I'd already quoted clients on stuff. And on top of it, when I got my bill, I was like so kind of like fuming at that instance at that time, you know, just to myself. Like I said, always cordial and stuff like that outwards to people. But inside, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I can't believe that I didn't even bother checking my bill. And when I got home later, discovered that on top of the price increase, they had actually charged me the wrong price and charged me a dollar more per bag on top of what the price increase was supposed to be. So it was like a couple of things. And then now, you know, going back and like wanting, you know, a bag of seed, and they wouldn't even sell me a single bag of seed unless they spent another $350 there. So I was just shocked. If you haven't picked up on that, just craziness that I don't know what's going on with them. And, you know, whether it's change in management or just these crazy price increases and minimum order prices and being so rigid on the stuff, I was just completely shocked by it. So anyway, that's my little bit of venting what was going on this morning with me trying to get out there. Just one of those days. Like I said, you know, at first I was getting nervous because of the weather. Then the sun came out, so I was like, it's going to be a good day. And then it was just like, oh, okay, then, you know, one of these things going on. So I'm just going to take a quick break, and then we'll get back into it right after this. So stay tuned.
Hey, Lenny Magnol here. As a product manager at Exmark, I'm focused on innovations that keep your mowers up and running, so they'll be ready to roll whenever there's grass to be cut. Our new Tractus airless drive tires maximize the productivity and uptime performance of our Laser Z mowers. When combined with our semi-pneumatic front caster tires, Tractus eliminates flat tire-related downtime. When you've had enough of productivity-killing flat tires, it's time for Tractus. Learn more at xmark.com.
Okay, so as I was talking there, then the rest of the day, it's that time for those lawn renos, time of year. So typically when I'm doing lawn renos, if I'm doing a full lawn reno, my definition of a lawn reno would be to put a moss control down. And then a couple weeks later, I usually break up lawn rentals into three visits. So the first visit is that moss control because of the Pacific Northwest. We're getting all that rain, getting all that moss in lawns. And then that second visit would be a power rake for me and removing a bunch of that moss once it's all killed off and any thatch and stuff that you have in the lawn. And then I'm typically as well, if I'm doing it in that order, I'm aerating it during that particular visit. So usually power raking it, cleaning up all the power raking junk, mowing it super short, then aerating it. And typically I'll group lawns together like that. So at the beginning of the season, when I'm going through my regular like mowing rounds, usually the first mow of the season, I'll mow, do edging, all that stuff, and then I'll do the moss control at that time for those clients. And then let that sit for a couple weeks. Let it do its thing on that moss. And then I start to pick out those lawns that need lawn renos and talk to the clients about those. So then those ones, I'm usually grouping them together if I'm doing like the power raking part of it. I would then go back, power rake, two or three houses in a day, clean it up and aerate those properties. And then I'm leaving the overseeding, the lime that we'd be putting here, and then like a starter fertilizer, and then top dressing for that next visit. And again, I will group, two or three lawns in a day to do those services in. Just makes it easier if I can, just to carry around stuff. If I'm carrying like the mower with me and then, having the power rake and aerator in the back of the trailer, it's just easy to go around and do that, to group them and do those similar jobs together on those days instead of trying to do, one complete job if it's a full lawn reno where, like I say, doing the power rake portion of it because when it comes to power raking as well, one of the other things that I'm doing is I'm taking the debris away. One of the rare instances where I'm taking debris away with me, because typically if I'm mowing and stuff like that, I'm putting grass clippings and stuff in each of the home's organic bins for the city to take away. The city comes and picks up organic waste, which is like, all of your sort of green waste, yard trimmings and clippings, grass clippings, food waste, all that sort of stuff. They'll pick it up on garbage day every week. And there's a designated green bin that every house has to put that stuff in. So typically for lawn mowing and stuff, I'm doing that. But for a power rake, because there's just with that moss, it can build up pretty quickly and pretty aggressive on a lot of lawns that, there's been lawns that I've done where I can completely, show up with an empty trailer and leave with a full trailer. And it's just moss and garbage that came out of that lawn, right? Because when I'm doing a power rake, I'm typically doing three passes. So I'll do like the first pass with a power rake, clean it all up, mow it short, do another pass with the power rake, usually in the opposite direction. So if I'm doing stripes in one direction, the second pass, I'm doing it in the opposite direction, cleaning all that up, usually mowing it again and just going over it with the mower quickly again, just picks up any sort of like loose bits and stuff so I can see it. And then I'll hit it again a third time with the power rake. And that will get usually the majority out. It usually don't ever go past three passes with a power rake. It's quite aggressive. Even on some lawns where the moss is really bad and it's kind of like a shag carpet and comes out in like big sections, three passes will get the majority of it. And I say majority because there's certain areas where you can't get out everything, like around the perimeter and stuff, because of how the power rake is with the wheels and stuff. You're going as close as you can to the edge, but if there's garden beds and stuff, you can't go off the edge and into the garden bed, because then the at times are digging in too deep on that side of the machine. So you got to just ride the wheels as close to the edge as possible. But then, of course, there's no tines there. So you always have this little perimeter of like an inch or two going around if you've, you know, aggressively power raked, where there'll still be some of that organic matter still growing around that perimeter and stuff. But typically, that's what I would be doing if I'm doing a full lawn reno, is those three visits. With that last visit, you know, I'm coming back and I'm just doing fertilizer, lime, overseeding, and then doing all the top dressing at that time. But for today's that I was doing, it didn't need a power rake. So this was a lawn where I picked up this client last year. She is very hesitant and has lots of questions all the time. Sometimes asking me the same questions week after week, which can be a little bit frustrating. Today was one of those interesting instances where she was very chatty today. So that was sort of that second kind of hiccup in the day. Because when I first showed up, you know, I just started surveying the lawn, seeing how I was going to attack this particular job. And then she had a guest that was visiting. So she had opened the door, the guest was leaving. So then she stayed out there to talk to me. And she started asking me, you know, what I was doing there today, because for one, it's a Monday. And don't mow on Mondays normally. So her mowing day is tomorrow. But so I told her, oh, yeah, I'm going to be mowing it short. So I gave her a heads up too, because this is one client that she likes her lawn mowed tall. So I told her, I'm going to mow it short today, just a heads up, because I'm doing the top dressing and overseeding and all and aerating and stuff today, right? So I'm just going to mow it short today, and then we'll go back to the regular length mowing next week. And I'm not scalping it or anything, but just lower than she would normally have her lawn cut. And I think it was like 2.5 inches I cut it at, where normally I'm cutting her lawn at like 3.5 inches. So for her, 2.5 inches is short. So at any rate, she started asking me more questions about the lawn, and kind of, it's almost like she's, I think she's been, burned by contractors before in the past, and things haven't worked out to her satisfaction. So she was kind of like, it was almost like pop quiz time, like asking me question after question about the lawn and this and that, and how come there's this and what's happening here, and what do we do about this and that, and just kind of, you know, going through the her list of questions, and I was answering all her questions and stuff and being, you know, completely patient with it. The next thing you know, though, I'm looking at it and going, like, I've been talking with her for an hour and I haven't even started yet. Like, I was just thinking, like, oh my goodness, like, this day is getting, you know, from one, you know, having to go out of my way for one to go get soil. For this particular job, I decided, because it was just this particular one I was going to do today, I decided to go with the bagged soil for this one, instead of buying bulk, because I didn't want to have any left over, because I'd be mowing tomorrow and stuff. So I didn't want to have to deal with bulk soil, because, you know, it's not so much, you know, if you got extra, it's where do I put it? Do I just dump it on the driveway? You got to shovel it out of the trailer. And then it's like, well, then I need it again, you know, for the next job. Then I got to shovel it all back into the trailer. So it's just a bunch of unnecessary labor. So I decided to go with the bagged soil. So I went to stopped at Home Depot, got bags of soil. Then that's when I went to that supplier, and you know, had a bit of a shock there with them not selling the seed. So then I'm going, you know, to finally get some work done. And now this customer is, you know, basically has eaten an hour of my time before I've even, you know, gotten the job done. Now, luckily, it's, you know, and top dressing and power raking, or not a power raking, but a top dressing and overseeding and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, I can build in that hour of time basically into the billing, because it's not something I've quoted for her particular job. So there's a bit of wiggle room there that I can make up some of that time, because after all, it's not like we're chatting about personal things. It's she's asking me questions about her lawn and you know, certain things and just picking my brain and stuff like that. So it's like, okay, well, that's billable to have to, you know, sit there doing that. So at any rate, finally got down to it got the mowing done, got that all sorted out nice and short, looked fantastic. I did the aeration next. And typically, it depends on how I'm feeling that day and sort of the conditions, whether I do like the overseeding and the fertilizer and lime first, or whether I do the aeration first. Kind of depends on those conditions. If my experience is, you know, if it's been really wet, like it was last night, and then you go to core and then those cores come out and they're kind of wet, and then you go and run, or say, for example, if I go and overseed first and put like lime and fertilizer first, what has happened in the past is then I'll go, you know, and run the aerator over it. And the big wheel on the aerator gets wet from the grass, and then it just starts picking up all the grass seed and fertilizer and stuff like that. So I've had in times where, you know, that's been an issue. The other issue that I had, if I do the reverse and decide to aerate first and then go and do the fertilizer and lime, is that the fertilizer spreader, the broadcast spreader, will pick up the cores on the tires. If it's wet and muddy and stuff out there, right? Like if it was a heavy rain the night before, like it was last night, then sometimes you can get like a lot of buildup on the tires of the broadcast spreader, because it's like, you know, nice pneumatic rubber tires with tread on them and stuff. So what I decided to do today, because the conditions were similar to that, because of that all that rain that we're getting, and when I got there, like I said, this customer likes their lawn cut pretty tall, so it was long and it was wet still, even though it wasn't raining. So what I decided to do after I gave it a cut was I decided to put the fertilizer and lime down first. So I did that first after the cut, and then I decided to aerate it. So I did that next, and then I decided to do the seed after that, because I use a drop spreader for seed so that you're not getting seed into garden beds and stuff like that. So I use the broadcast spreader to do fertilizer and lime, because that doesn't matter if that goes into garden beds. But for the seed, I always use a drop spreader. Obviously, it takes a lot longer because you have to literally do each stripe as if you're mowing, dropping the seed. And I'll typically go in two directions. So I'll do the whole lawn in one direction and then hit it again in the opposite direction. Just to be sure that I'm covering everything with seed. Do the top dressing at the end. So today, like I said, I kind of changed it up, really just by experience of knowing that, hey, you know, if I go on the sort of this wet grass with, and I seed first and then go with the aerator is going to pick up all the seed on that front wheel when it's wet. If I aerate first and then go to fertilize, then the fertilizer is going to pick up all those cores and squish them into the tires, and then it builds up kind of like when you're a kid and you're building a snowman, and you start with like a little snowball and you start rolling it and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's what will happen with the tires on the broadcast spreader. As you're going over sort of wet aeration cores, they start to stick to the tires, and you know, it gets more and more built on to the wheels. So that's why I thought today, you know, I'm going to kind of do like a custom application of doing the fertilizer and lime first, because that's a heavier prill. It'll drop right down through the grass blades to the ground. So there's not really any, you know, too much worry about the aerator picking that stuff up. But then, so I'll do that first, and then I'll aerate. And then I'll use the drop spreader to drop the seed over the aerated lawn because the drop spreader doesn't pick up as much of the debris on the tires as the broadcast spreader does, just because it's lighter weight machine. Even when it's full of seed and stuff, it's not too heavy. So I find a bit more success doing it that way, and it worked out fine today. There wasn't too many issues with that. So then came the moment of truth of trying that Lanzi compost spreader roller, peat moss roller. So I'd seen these on social media for a bit since they had come out. They've been getting very popular, and a lot of copycat products being sold. In fact, one of the local stores here, called Princess Auto. It's kind of like our Harbor Freight type of a store. Had some, Chinese knockoff version of the Lanzi in the last flyer that they put out. It's just one of those things where there's just a bunch of copycats now of the Lanzi. But I was trying the original Lanzi. I had reached out to them to see if I could give it a shot. So they sent one out to me. And I got the 24-inch one because of all my properties being pretty small, and I wanted to, make sure I could get into backyard gates and all that sort of stuff. The only thing with the 24-inch one, I was kind of, humming and hawing between the 24 and the 36. The only thing with the 36 that I liked better, not only, I had a wider swath and stuff, but the handle was removable. Like the actual grip parts that you could put, and it had sort of like the little adapter for putting to tow it behind, your tractor or your mower or whatever, and using your mower for bigger properties and stuff like that. So I thought that was kind of cool. The 24-inch one doesn't have that feature on it. So it's just, a manual sort of, person-powered version of it. So these Lanzi spreaders, if you're not familiar with them, they basically look like a metal lawn roller. Like one you would fill with water and stuff, same shape and size and stuff, except instead of being a solid drum, it's just the two drum ends, and it's made of mesh, metal mesh, like the tailgate or the trailer, like ramp on, landscape trailers and stuff, just like a metal mesh made into like a barrel shape. And it has a door on it, and you fill it with soil, whether you're using bulk soil or bags of soil, whatever the case may be, you just fill it with soil. Then you kind of close the door. It's got a couple latches on either side, and then you just push it like a lawn roller. And as you're pushing it, the soil starts coming out of the mesh, it starts applying this whatever width that particular unit is. The one I was using was 24 inches wide, so it's leaving a 24-inch swath wide by, however long the material inside of it lasts, depending on what it is that you're using. So my initial impressions using bagged soil, now there was a couple of things. The bagged soil I was using, like I said, I went to Home Depot and picked up bags of soil. It had poured rain last night, as I mentioned previously. So the bags, they were wet. Because, of course, they're just kept in their outdoor garden center area. The bags have perforated holes on them, so the rainwater and stuff, got in there. And I guess that's to make them breathable and stuff because, the soil's moist and they don't want, mold and stuff. People opening up bags and seeing, mold and mildew or funguses and stuff growing inside the bags of soil. So they do have perforated holes, but then that means, when it rains, the water can get also into the bags. That was one point. So I started with my first bag. I put it in the roller. I started rolling it, and it was beautiful. It laid this perfect layer of soil down. I was actually really pleasantly surprised by how well the unit worked. Now, there was a couple of things that I noticed. I got about, so this lawn was probably only about 40 feet long. So I got about 2.5 stripes of that 40 foot length and 2 feet wide each stripe, right? So in total, you know, you're talking about half the lawn, about 6 feet wide by, if it was 40 feet, so like 20 feet by 6 feet, and then the other half of the lawn would have been 4 feet by 20 feet, because I got about 2.5 stripes through that length. So it actually worked out really well, and that was using one bag in that spreader. Now, what I noticed was kind of a interesting benefit was the mesh is, it's not super fine, but it is small, and it prevented all of the junk that is always in soil, whether you're buying it bulk or you're, you know, buying it in bags. And by junk, I mean, you know, chunks of wood, pieces of plastic. There's always something, right? Because obviously soil is composted, it's, you know, organic matter, it's broken down yard waste and stuff like that. They're composting it. So there's always stuff that finds its way into those piles wherever they're making that soil, whether it's pieces of plastic or just garbage things. And then there's always, because it's all green waste, you know, there's tree branches and things like that that get chipped down and all that sort of stuff. So a lot of the wood particles and pieces that are in the soil that you inherently will find is pretty small and not an issue. But there's also, you know, bigger chunks that just haven't had the time to be able to break down. So the interesting with the, you know, normally when I'm doing a top dressing, doing it manually, I'm dropping off, you know, piles of dirt or using the bags to drop off dirt, you know, and then you're just raking it. You're left with all of that stuff on top of the lawn. The soil will work its way through the lawn stuff, but all those bigger sticks and stuff are on top, right? And typically you're just raking it in and whatever, and you're just kind of leaving it. And hey, after a few weeks, it all works its way down to the soil and you know, will break up over time and stuff like that. So the interesting thing with the Lansi was it left such a perfect layer of soil, yet it filtered out all that debris. So at the end of that sort of roll of that first bag that I tried, there was all these bits of wood and stuff inside the Lansi. All the soil was gone. You can kind of see as you do your stripe, your start, sort of the nice color and consistency of the stripe going down. And then as you get towards the end, you see that it lightens up because there's not as much soil coming down. And then you open it up and you see, you know, the chunks of wood and stuff that are in there. The other thing, because the soil was wet because of the rain and stuff like that, there were some spots, you know, inherently where you get where there's like just like compacted balls of soil and stuff. And being inside of a roller, I guess, doesn't help that. So they just kind of stay in there. They don't really break up. Where typically, if I was dumping the bag of soil, those, you know, balls of soil that you might have there, I would use like sort of the end of the rake and just smack them to break them up and then rake them back and forth. But when it's in the roller, you don't have that luxury because it's inside there. It's just rolling around. So I was left with whatever little balls of soil that there might have been in there that were too big to go through the mesh. And again, it's because it was pouring rain last night and the bags had actually all weekend it had rained. Those balls of soil were in there. And then all the big wood chunks and stuff. So that was kind of an added bonus that it was, like I said, it filtered out some of that stuff. I would have liked the little dirt balls and stuff to break up. But I'm actually happy that it kept all the wood debris and stuff inside because it just left a much cleaner look at the lawn. You looked at the lawn. Typically, when I'm top dressing a lawn manually, it's very difficult to get it very even as this. Like this was, I was explaining it to my brother-in-law, like spray painting. Like when you go to spray paint something and you do the first coat, you can see the color go down. But if you want it heavier, you just go do a second coat when you paint, right? And you do that second coat and it starts to add more coverage to that. So it was like, I did the lawn. You could see that first coat. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go now, you know, do a second coat. So I went with Landsy again, and it's so quick and so easy to use that it's like, and it's not like a big deal, and you're not bent over with a rake and stuff, and you know, having lower back pain and all that sort of stuff. There's been times where, you know, like I said, I would group them two or three houses at a time, and by that third house of doing like top dressing and stuff, like you go to try to stand up and you can't even stand up. Your back is so sore and stiff from being in that sort of slightly hunched over position of raking, that it's just so painful. So the Landsy is nice because you're just standing up. You're in an upright position, rolling this, you know, basically like this lawn roller along the lawn, and it's depositing this perfectly even layer of soil on it. So that was the other, like I said, benefit, is that it's so even that typically, like I said, when I'm doing it manually, I usually have to leave the lawn the following week. Like I have to skip it at least a week, sometimes 2 weeks for mowing, so that I'm not sucking up the soil and stuff like that, because it's all kind of like sitting on top when I'm doing it manually. But with this, because it filtered out all of that debris and all that sort of stuff, what that meant was it was all the fine soil, like sifted, that got deposited. So it immediately worked its way down to the soil. Like you could see the color difference, but it wasn't sitting on top of the soil, if I'm explaining that correctly. So I'm like, wow, like next week, you know, especially if we get like another rain day or something like that, like I shouldn't even, you know, need to skip a beat next week and skip the lawn. Like I should be able to go right into mowing this lawn next week. Cause once that, you know, gets a little water on it, and settles that, soil, down, because it's so fine and there's no chunks of wood or things like that, like I'll be able to continue mowing, which is going to mean more, money in my pocket, because typically, you know, you're making money off of the top dressing and stuff, but then you're having to skip the lawn those weeks when you're doing a typical top dressing, which is then, you know, taking away from that revenue that you made. You know, and then you've got, of course, just a bunch of extra work to do when you finally do get around to being able to mow the lawn. So it was very interesting that it did that. The other kind of neat sort of side benefit that I felt was when it was full and rolling it, it felt like a lawn roller, like a water-filled lawn roller, of course, because it had that weight. And it had, you know, it needed a little bit of momentum to get started. Once it was rolling, it was fine. And of course, as you went along, it got lighter and lighter, because obviously it's dropping soil out of it. So obviously it's getting lighter. But that sort of lawn rolling action was something that typically, you know, you're not doing on a lawn. So you're kind of getting that lawn rolling effect, which is, you know, especially after a day of rain and stuff like that, is going to help smooth out the lawn as well. And it's also going to provide some really good, you know, seed, soil to seed contact, which is going to help, you know, especially when you're putting seed down first and then you're covering it in soil and giving it sort of that nice sort of roll action on top of it, with that little bit of weight that that roller has of that soil. You know, it's going to compact it, that layer of soil, and get that good adhesion of a seed to soil, and you know, should help with that germination process as well, to give a more complete or fuller germination of seed. So that was another added benefit with that. The sort of downside I found with that, filling it with soil wasn't an issue. You know, especially using bags, it was super simple to go up to it with a bag, open the bag, dump it into the unit. I had watched some videos to sort of prepare myself and saw people using wheelbarrows with it, and it was equally as easily, sort of as if you sort of like time, you know, where to stop the wheelbarrow and tip it, you can actually get it to tip right into the Landsy. So that looks like that would be pretty interesting as well. I might try some bulk soil, maybe even on my own lawn, to see how, you know, top dressing with bulk soil would be, and with a different type of soil. You know, maybe one with more sand or something to see how that would do, just to kind of get different experiences so that I know when I'm quoting for doing top dressing with a tool like this, how those different materials react with the tool. The one thing that I didn't sort of expect, again, has to do with that sort of filtering process where you're left then with all the wood bits, where normally that would be all on the lawn. If I was doing that manually, I'd be just dumping and raking that in and trying to work that, you know, into the grass blades and stuff to get it, you know, down in, so it's not just all sitting on top. So with Landsy, of course, because it's filtering it out, you're left with those bits. And I found at first, you know, my first bag I put in, I had some bits in those kind of like balls of dirt that were kind of rolled up in there. And then I just dumped my second bag in there and then started rolling again. And then I think I got to the third bag and dumped that one in and started doing it. And then I realized, oh, I'm going to have to dump this out. Like, I can't continue to add bags without or adding more soil to it without removing that junk that's in there. Because I noticed that it was not leaving as good of a deposit of soil because the Landsy was so full of bits of wood and stuff from those first previous bags that I hadn't dumped out. So I ended up rolling out that third bag and having to really, it took longer than the previous two because of all the debris in there, and I really had to kind of shake it around and stuff to get it going. So then I decided, okay, let me figure out what I'm gonna do with all this debris. So I got a tarp out of my truck, laid it down, put the Landsy on its side, just dumped into it, which was super easy. And then I started with a fresh bag inside an empty Landsy, and then it started spreading perfectly again. So I was like, okay, well, that's not a big deal. All I got to do is after, you know, if I'm going to go fill it every time, you know, every time it needs to be filled, just empty out whatever debris it's caught in there and, you know, then fill it again. And it'll, you know, totally depend on the mix or whatever you're using, the soil. But I tend to find that whatever soil, whether it's bulk or bagged stuff, there's always going to be wood bits and stuff. The majority of it was small enough that it just came through the holes and worked its way in. But it's those like big chunks that you'll see from time to time in there. And I would say probably, you know, by the time I was finished that whole front lawn, those may be on the tarp, maybe 3/4 of a bag of debris, of wood and stuff left over from all that stuff. So it was, one of those things that I was just like, well, this is new. I've never had, leftover debris to have to contend with at the end of, a top dressing job of having soil and stuff and having it like literally filtered out. And it's interesting because one of the common, I guess, questions that I get from clients every time I do a top dressing job in the past is all the wood bits and chunks and stuff that are left, on the lawn after you're done. It's never been an issue long-term. I've never had a customer complain about it. I just say, hey, it's just organic matter. It'll break down. Sometimes there's some bigger chunks or whatever the case may be. If it's like a big, honking size, snowball sized piece of wood, of course I wouldn't leave that on the lawn. I would take it with me, but you get those occasional just slightly bigger chunks and stuff like that. And they will tend to, sit on top and you're trying to work them in or whatever the case may be. But it's interesting that the Landsy doesn't allow those to come through. So now, you've got, some chunks of wood left over and easy enough to dispose of because, like I said, you could just put a tarp down, dump it on the tarp, and then take those little chunks of wood and stuff and just put them in the green bin to take, and they can go back and go full circle and go back to the plant to make new compost and new soil with. So, but it's just interesting to note with that, that it was just so much easier to be able to do a top dressing job with it, especially a smaller lawn. If it was a large lawn, I guess the jury's still out with it in terms of, I really only had one experience with it so far today, but it's promising enough that I am like, you know what? I might even, typically top dressing is not something I would push on clients or try to sell them on doing top dressing because of the amount of work and labor and pain and stuff. But the Lansi made it so easy that I'm like, maybe it's something I could, it definitely would improve people's lawns if you're adding organic matter. And you're not talking about, adding 2 inches of soil and stuff. It's just like, hey, here's a thin layer of organic matter to put down on your lawn. And it's only going to help. It's, every time I've ever power raked, it just invigorates the lawn, having, that nice fresh organic matter. If you're putting compost down or wherever the case may be, nice thin layer of it just really just makes the lawn pop. So with Lansi, it just makes that so easy to do that I might, put together packages of doing like an overseed, and especially if I have to go and buy 2 bags of seed at that place, then it's like, well, if I'm forced to buy 2 bags of seed, I might as well try and sell overseeding and top dressing packages to clients and try to open up a new revenue stream there that I typically wouldn't be pushing normally, but dropping seed down and some top dressing with that Lansi just makes it so simple to do that it's like, hey, why not? Why not try to sell that and maybe work it into or make it a regular sort of part of the package of my normal package for regular clients that I get all that stuff done would be a good thing. So look out for videos on the Lansi if you guys follow me on Instagram or on my YouTube channel. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.